morning.
This is Monty. I'm from Olympia, Washington, and I will be your host this morning on good old November the 2nd, 2007. Still a little dark here in the Olympia, Washington area, but I'm sure possibly where you're from, if you're not from the West Coast, the sun is shining. It's up there somewhere, I think everybody's all agree, even though there might be some clouds in between it. But good morning. Who's here with us this morning? Why don't you tell me your first name and or your name and where you're from. I certainly would appreciate that, and then we'll get this program off and rolling this morning.
Dan B., Little Rock, Washington.
Good morning. Good morning, Dan. Just down the road.
Good.
Yeah, old stone throw away and up the hill.
Yep.
Thank you, Dan. Next.
How you doing?
Great.
And you?
Fantastic.
Good, good. Let's find out who else is with us. Who's next?
This is Betty in Pittsburgh.
Betty, Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Bonnie.
Good. Next.
Bonnie, Minnesota.
Good morning, Bonnie.
Morning.
How's Minnesota this morning?
Good. Sun's shining.
Good. Good. Next.
Got Mary Lou. I'm just Washington.
Mary Lou from Washington. Thank you, Mary Lou.
I'll be on mute just for a few minutes.
That's okay. Next. Okay, this is Monty Deans, like I said, in Olympia, Washington, but I'd like to ask and welcome each and every one of you to the call and explain to you the purpose of the Advanced Lifestyle Call. Of course, is to provide the most current nutritional and advanced product technology information in the wellness industry. When better health is attained, all areas of life will be impacted. The people you will hear today are part of a study product group and guests and people that are not even part of the group that are actively applying both the principles found in the China Study Book by Colin Campbell, and most are utilizing cutting-edge wellness products made available by NECAN. The China Study, where the book begins, and I believe that's how this whole concept did begin for this particular group, was the largest nutritional study ever done in the world. There were over 880 million participants attending this call, and in no way obligates you to make any purchases. You are a guest. We ask only if you find this helpful and see benefit in anything you've learned, please pass on the call number and time to others, because we'd like to share this wonderful message that we have with as many people as we possibly can. Thank you for allowing us to enter your home, your office, and your car at this time. And again, welcome to the call. If you're here for the first time or have been on for a short time, this call is designed particularly for you. That's the main purpose of the call, and that is to answer any particular questions that you might have based upon this new way of eating or the concept behind it, your questions you may have. And we have an awful lot of people in the call that have experienced some wonderful things in regards to this new way of eating and being concerned on anywhere from starting out with a lifestyle call and advanced it onto the advanced lifestyle call, where we've taken a program and pretty much tweaked it, and for the advantage of all of us, because we all want totally better health as long as we can have it. We want to be and live as young and be as young as we can till the day we leave this earth, and everybody would like to do that in a nice and wonderful way. So again, good morning. Anybody have any questions right off the bat that you might feel that you'd like to have, whether you're new or whether you've been on the call for 100 years? Does anybody have any questions this morning?
I just want to say good morning, Monty. This is Dottie.
Good morning, Dottie.
How are you doing?
Great. And you?
I'm doing good. Wonderful.
Sounds. Are you walking?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Would you rather me put this on mute?
No. I can.
I might hear some deep breathing here.
That was kind of the indication that I was hearing that it wasn't Dottie's normal. And that's okay, because you're walking the walk.
I am walking the walk and talking the talk.
And talking the talk. And from that, you're getting some wonderful benefits from this program, and I know you know that. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Oh, definitely. I have more energy. The minute I start eating the meats or whatever, I feel like it takes me a long time to get going.
Yeah, of course, in reading the China Study, we understand why that is happening to you. You know, and I believe if you're new on this call, that China Study book is one way to starting the program and understanding why we have made some switches in regards to the food that we eat, and we've taken that benefit. And like we, I said in earlier, that the 880 million people that was in this study, you can't, you know, we're always, every time we hear about something new, one of the first things that's kind of in our mind is, oh, yeah, that's great, but how many people have been doing this, or where does the research come from, and where is the validation of the particular program? And if you want to know where the, how this new way of eating came about, it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's just that we have here in America kind of went to a good old rich West American diet, and so we've had some problems with our health, and particularly we all know now that our children are really kind of, it's gone down the ladder a little bit to our children, a little bit, I should say, in my opinion, epidemic that we have the obesity in just good old Americans and people that eat the Western-type style diet, rich in animal protein and dairy products. So we try to avoid that as much as we can, and that's kind of the way it happens. But if you don't have the China Study book, go ahead and get the China Study book. I've been through it a few couple times, and it's kind of like no matter what we do, whether we're listening to a tape or reading a book or watching a television show or listening to some music on a CD or on the radio or whatever, that it seems like every time we hear it, we either hear a new word or a new phrase or, oh, I don't remember hearing that before. So just keep reading, keep listening, and these books are available, of course, from Focus on Growth, Blue Ribbon Video, and at your local store. So other than that, thank you. Appreciate that. Next, anybody else have another comment?
Hey, Monty, this is Dottie again.
Yes,
I have a question. Which oil is the best, like, I mean, as far as an olive oil? I mean, there's so many brands out there now.
Well, which one is the best? I cannot answer that question because I don't know. Okay? Only because, you know, what I did when I was eating the olive oils and those and oils, whatever, one of the main things I wanted to make sure that it knew, that of course that it was organic, and you got to remember that the more virgin a oil is, which basically pretty much means that that is the first squeeze of the olive itself, and they claim that of when you're talking about the oils, that the more virgin it becomes, like you can get extra virgin or whatever, that type of stuff, that the better that it is. And of course, one of the other things I've heard, and I observed it when I was eating off the oil, and that was that the greener the oil was, the more health benefits that the oil had in it. Does anybody else have any comments or questions in regards to Dottie's question?
Anybody else on the call, Monty, this morning?
Yeah, they're here, but they're just not speaking up, but that's okay. what I mean by that is I can't force people to talk, that's for sure.
I know.
But I know that people out there that, you know, are, because we know Shearer, I believe Shearer, Marianne Shearer in the book The Natural Way, she utilizes all the oils and that sort of stuff also. So
yeah.
If anybody's out there...
I know you've had you want us to read the doodles, but I've been having, they've had company now, and they're leaving on Monday, so I didn't get a chance to, put, you know, I won't be able to participate on the reading of Jack and the Doodles, though, because I haven't read it yet. So I don't know if anybody's in the same boat, and that's why they're not talking. So it's like school. You kind of keep your hand down because you didn't do the homework.
Yeah, no, I understand. And that's one of the nice things about this program, you know, is we all look at this new program in different ways. And we're all at different segments in our program, in this program, or this new way of eating. Some people have gotten on the program and went to, I'll use the word cold turkey, even though turkey's a bad word for me now. But the whole idea is, you got to do what you got to do as an individual, and even though maybe sometimes people don't feel they're following the program exactly, but they need to know that if they have changed and are moving to a better, more plant-based diet, their health is getting better also, and so that's what they need to understand. And don't be ashamed. ashamed of that they're maybe not being on the program 100%, because everything, we as individuals sometimes change, and like Nancy said the other day, is that, you know, particularly men, we sometimes don't want to change real fast, but that's still okay. You're still being benefit, and not only are you getting the benefit of the program and the new way of eating, even though you are still doing what maybe you feel isn't within the program, that's still okay, because you're getting benefit. But what I think is more beneficial is that you're passing that benefit on to your family members, particularly if you were the person that's doing the preparing the meals in your home.
You know, Magic, yesterday they were talking about, you know, the different steps, you know, like exercising, making sure you drink water, and
sure.
They did mention journaling. And, I mean, I used to counsel people with weight problems. I did it for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I had them fill out the journal was to write down what time they ate. And it really made an impression that way, because when they ate late at night, they get up in the morning, they're not hungry. And they didn't realize that was the reason. You know, because their body is so digested the night before food, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would have them write the times that they ate, so that way here they can actually observe that.
Well, that's very, very important in journaling, you know, not only the time we eat, but what did we eat that particular meal? How did we feel at that particular, after, say, an hour, 2 hours after that meal? You know, was it a satisfying meal, or was it a meal that 2 hours later I'm starting to feel hungry and getting that urge? And one of the things I'm going to go over today is another 10 type of situations and points that I think I found very valuable that I found in the September McDougall newsletter, and I believe it's true to give journaling. If we just think about what it is that we eat, and sometimes people have a problem with journaling, though, and that is writing it down. You know, I could ask somebody, what did you have for breakfast this morning, and you could probably tell me, or I could say, what did you have for breakfast yesterday, and you could probably tell me, but it all goes back to goal setting. We all know that we're all told in life that those people that write down things, their goals, that, you know, a high percentage of those people attain those goals in their life. Well, it's the same way with journaling. You know, when you write it down, it then brings it back into the mind again about what it is I ate. Was that good? Was that not good? Could I have made better choices? And what foods is my body responding to in a normal, positive way to either keep hunger down or to make me satisfied, or what's my weight doing? You know, is my weight coming down? Well, if we look at the kind of foods we're eating and our weight ain't coming down, it's all in the food, and I'll get into that a little bit later. It's just like if you want lower cholesterol, you know, common sense just says, because of the new way we think, that if you're still eating foods that have cholesterol in it, don't expect your cholesterol levels to be dropping the way that you possibly read in a book or hear somebody on this call say. It's all self-examination, and that's one of the things that I think journaling does, and it really helped me out, particularly in the original lifestyle program, that I had the record in front of me, what I had done that previous day, how I was responding to it, and it really helped me, made it beneficial. And in turn, the good result of that was I got my health back. And not only, it wasn't the journaling that did it, but it was a piece of the puzzle that just helped me along that way of good health. So,
I just want to add something else on journaling that I just thought of. Maybe we should also start including in our journal how long it took us to eat.
Makes
sense.
Yep. Yep, well, we touched and came about yesterday, I believe, on the call.
Yeah, because if you eat slowly, you, number one, tend to eat less, and it's more satisfying, and your brain takes 20 minutes before it registers that you've eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And most people who have a weight problem inhale.
I know it, and that's like my mother, if you sit down with a meal with her, you expect to sit there probably another, particularly if you go out for dinner, expect to sit there about another half hour until she finishes her meal.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother, all of her life, has been very thin and trim, and she's a very, very slow eater. So was her mother. Isn't it funny how we pick up habits and the way we do things from the people that have previously gone before us, and how they have taught us some either good things things or bad things. Exactly right. Thank you. And, you know, it's amazing how when you think of it, you can take a product, take like an M&M or example. I know that's like one of the favorite foods on this call for one of our very marvelous.
What M&M?
Is somebody on this call that shouldn't be here using words that shouldn't be utilized?
Who can have just one M&M?
But I don't know why I said that. But here's my point, though, going back to what we talked about in your mouth. Just take something and put it in water. You go, if you take an M&M and you put it in water, and that sucker will sit there for quite a while and do absolutely nothing. You take that M&M, though, and you put it in your mouth, and guess what starts to happen not too long down the road? It starts to dissolve. And that's because of the way that our body works. Is immediately when we put food into our mouth, all of a sudden those enzymes start to, digestive juices and everything else start to flow, and it starts to break that food down. And that's why also, in my opinion, it's very important. And Dr. Oz talks about that. And if we just realized how our body acts and how it responds to certain things, it's amazing the knowledge that we can get from just observing our bodies and what happens and how things work. Thank you, Nancy. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
For that comment. Anybody else have a comment in regards to anything? Well, I know I tried something different yesterday morning for the first time. I took my Ezekiel cereal that I just love. And be honest, you, my two breakfasts are either Ezekiel the breakfast cereal, which is whole grains and several whole grains, or I eat nothing but oatmeal. And I tried my, on the box of the Ezekiel, it happened, I don't know, I've never read it before, for some reason, how many boxes of Ezekiel have I eaten? But on the back panel of that box, it talked about heating the Ezekiel up. And it had a little formula for heating it up and putting in some half a cup of Ezekiel and half a cup of soy milk, and I use rice and soy milk, and then heating it up on the stove, and I put some cinnamon in it. Nancy popped right into my mind right away, so I put some cinnamon in there, and then I heated it up to where I like the temperature of it, because it certainly isn't there for the purpose of cooking, and then I brought it out, and I sliced a half a banana and put some banana on top of it and had it, and I'll be honest with you, I enjoyed it, but I certainly liked it better for me, because that's just the way I am. I like the little crunchiness and everything else, so I liked it the other way. But I tried it, and I'd highly recommend it. Be creative with your foods, and just be creative. Do things that possibly could be give you a different taste or a different idea in regards to the way you prepare your food. Anybody else have any comments this morning or questions?
Have you ever sprinkled the Ezekiel on top of your oatmeal?
No, I never have, but here's one thing else I found, Nancy, and I didn't get it, and I don't know why. You know, it's amazing the things that I learn by reading and looking at things and just letting the mind walk. But in there it talked about, you know, we all talk about snacks. What do we have for snacks and everything? Well, right there it said, Ezekiel makes a wonderful snack. And I thought, huh. And then I realized I had heard somebody on this call moons ago, maybe years or large months ago, talk about just taking the cereal right out of the box and just eating it. And right there in front of me, in writing, on the box, it says, this makes a wonderful snack. So guess what I had last night for my snack? Exactly right. I just took it out, and I ate it. I personally ate it with just a little bit of soy milk, though, rather than just eating it right out of the box. But I thought, man, that's so true. But you could. You take that and grape nuts or anything else like that and eat it. You know, it's just a wonderful snack.
Put a little bit of raisins in it. That would be sweetening it up a little bit.
Sure. And the nice thing about sweeten it, you're using what? A natural sweetener. So much better for us than something artificial or anything else like that. See, I bet you if we took the time, we could come up with a lot of different ideas on ways to eat cereal as a snack during the day. That just doesn't have to be at night or in the morning or whatever, but, you know, we usually have three good meals and two snacks, and that helps us out. Anybody else have any questions this morning?
I have a question. When do you get your McKinsey newsletter? Because I signed up for it, and I'm not getting it. What part of the month do you get it? It's a monthly, right?
About this time, right.
And it comes out once a month.
Hmm. Yep. So you probably need to go back in. I thought I saw something in there the other day in regards to on his front page. What name in here? Just a minute. Dan, were you going to say something?
Yeah, craisins work really good, like raisins do in those cereals.
Mm-hmm. And those are what?
Cranberry raisins.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing what the marketing industry has done, particularly when we're talking about health, how they're taking products and mixing them together and getting us to better understand exactly what it is. I can't find that right now, Nancy, but I think there was something on his front page said something if you're not getting see how to whitelist Dr. McDougall's newsletter. And I think with that's on the front page. Just below it says newsletter archive or current newsletter. Just below that it says, and I think that has to do with, here it says, if you are already signed up and not receiving the McDougall newsletter, send us an email and we will verify you are on the list. And then it says, see how to whitelist Dr. McDougall's newsletter. Whitelist pretty much means that some reason your computer is not accepting it, so you need to put it to that their address in a particular in a file in your email.
What's his email address? Do you have it?
What is what?
His email address.
Click right on it right here, and it says, my computer must. I haven't had my. It's webmaster at McDougall.com.
Okay.
At drmcdougall.com.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any questions?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that was me. I was just telling his car to go by.
Did the car talk back to you?
It did. I'm walking my dog, and I have the dog, and I stop. I have him sit. I let him go until I'm ready to go, and the car was waiting for me to cross. I'm sorry. I forgot I wasn't on you.
You know, and I'm glad you said the dog, because I'm going to tell you why. It's always amazing to me how I can find people that are, and don't anybody take this personally, please, particularly if you're dog lovers, okay, or animal lovers, but it always amazes me how you can find obese people usually end up having obese dogs. And the reason they have obese dogs is a simple fact is in most cases, they're either feeding the dog scraps from the table, okay, and they're getting, the dog is getting all that fat and everything else that normally wouldn't be in its diet, and the dog or the cat or the bird, I don't know, puffs up and gets huge and bigger. Or if they're just eating animal dog food, and instead of doing what the serving says to give the dog or the cat, the dog is mostly there all the time for the dog to eat. So thank you for bringing the dog up, because again, it just goes to prove that what we put in our mouth, we wear. Okay.
They normally eat when they're hungry.
Yep.
And they like to exercise, but we've made it, like us.
Well, you know, that's true. That's true. And I want to talk about 10 more points here real quick, if you don't mind. Did all of you get the link to the proper one that I asked? I goofed up yesterday when I asked Mary Lou just to send out the newsletter, because what I did, I had clicked on something and didn't realize it was September newsletter of Dr. McDougall that I wanted to go over in his 10 points. But I'm going to go over these real quick, if you don't mind, and this will kind of wrap up the week. But the number one point is, and I might not read them all, but I'll try to get on some high points. It says, to lose excess weight effortlessly, painlessly, and permanently. And Dr. McDougall is saying, if I could be your doctor, I would love to tell you how. And trust me, if you've ever met Dr. McDougall, he will tell you exactly what it is he thinks you want to know. And one of the first points, number one point, is you need to believe that the only thing that matters is the consumption of the foods on your plate. Do not focus on anything else. Don't think about how much you eat. Don't think about exercise. It does not matter if you are a nice person, or if you go to church, or if your classmates picked on you in high school. It's the food. All you have to do is permanently change your life. To change your life, I sincerely mean this, to lose excess weight and regain your lost health, it is to change the makeup of the meals you put into your mouth. Now, the one thing I took out of that particular paragraph was, very simply, it's the food. And then he you look at those two pictures, if you got that link or whatever, you can definitely tell that on the left plate, it's protein, it's animal products and dairy products, and you look on the right here, which is protein, fats, and everything else. You look at the other side, and it's nothing but starches and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. But what amazes me is that not in accordance to this picture, but in the picture on the right with all the vegetables and the rice and that kind of stuff has just as much protein, and it has protein, but plant fat and everything else that are more beneficial to our bodies. Number two is point number two, says you can learn the truth about permanent weight loss by simply opening your eyes. And I think that's so true, particularly with the China study. It says, look around the world. Who are the millions of people who look trim, healthy, and young, who have the physical shape that you want? Did you pick the Japanese, the Thai, the Peruvians, and rural Mexicans? Did you also notice that all these people follow diets based on starches, rice, potatoes, beans, and corns? And here's the thing that I underline. They eat very little meat, dairy, and processed foods. They also avoid the diseases that are common to us. And it says, change your meals. I'm going to repeat that again because these three words is what I have underlined. It says, change your meals for these comfort foods and solve your health and weight problem. Number three, here's one that I think is exciting. I know a lot of us, I loved it, that I particularly loved getting on the new diet, was the more you eat, the fitter and healthier you will become. Now, that's something that usually on most of the diets I was on, it was always portion control. You can only have so much and everything else. But you have tried low-calorie diets. Most of these kinds of diets are based on restriction, how much you eat. And here's the thing that kind of, I think, that puts us, for those of us that have died a lot in our life, it says, do you remember the agonizing pains from hunger? How would you expect your willpower to win out? Each successive time you tried portion control, calorie-restricted diets, you did worse than with previous attempts. And here's the key, that the four words I have underlined, it says, the pain of hunger is a powerful teacher. The pain of hunger. When we're hungry, either on this program or whatever program we have ever been involved in, that is the first thing that will normally want us to reach for something that we shouldn't have, and that is the pain of hunger. So the pain of hunger is number three. 3B says, rather than semi-starve during your most desperate times, you ate all you could, stomach of meat, cheese, and eggs. You became ill with ketosis, and it says you lost your appetite. To increase this foolishness, and you regained your weight loss. To cease this foolishness of eating all these things we shouldn't eat, and by doing it, no matter if we were on a program and we went back again to eating the same type of foods that we did, and we started to slide back real easy, then we started to regain our weight loss. And I have been through that program, even with the lifestyle program, there was a time that I did start to slip back, and it's exactly what started to happen. I regained some of the weight that I had lost. Okay, number four says, I'll just summarize it real quick. It says, don't be discouraged, and I think that's one of the things. Sometimes we get very discouraged, but pleasure, too, is a powerful teacher like hunger. Likely you remember this experience as a time when you felt your best. You lost weight effortlessly. That's true. When we're feeling good doing whatever program we are, but if we don't be discouraged if something happens, just remember, and we've always taught this on lifestyle, whether it be the meal or the day, there's another meal coming up, and that's when you can get yourself on track. Number five pretty much says, and what I took out of this, it says when people ask us kind of what's for dinner, you know, the first thing we think of is some kind of a protein. It's either, well, the meal's around steaks or pork chops or spaghetti or whatever it is. It says, but now, what's for dinner? You say bean, burritos, minestrone soup and bread, black bean, chili or pasta, and marinara sauce. Think starch, center-based meals. Very key important. Number six says, the fat you eat is the fat you wear. Now, that isn't something that Dr. McDougall came out with that was special. We've all heard that, haven't we? We've all heard that what you eat is what you become. The fat that you eat is the fat you wear. And, of course, Dr. McDougall and Dottie brought it up earlier, and that was a simple fact that he likes to avoid a lot of the oils and fats and the poultry and the fish, the milk and the cheese, as well as those found in large amounts of some plant foods, such as nuts, seeds, avocados, and olives. And he says that the most harmful source of fat are concentrated animal forms, such as lard and butter, and those extracted from plants, such as olive, corn, safflower, and flaxseed oil. Here again, situations, carbohydrates do not turn into body fat rather than being stored. And I'll repeat what I just said earlier. Excess carbohydrates are burnt off as body heat, eliminated through the lungs and the skin. Only by consuming very large amounts of refined flours and simple sugars will the body resort to converting carbohydrates into fat. And he's given us a word here, it's called. But that's one of the things I think it's so important that we read labels, that we understand what it is in the food we're eating. And anything refined or flours, you know, you can even have refined wheat flour. So those are things to be, but stick to those carbohydrates found in rice and potatoes and everything. Here's one that I'm going to relate to it, but I'm sure it says alcohol does not turn into fat. Friends, you know, I have a picture of a guy here with a big beer belly, and it says friends who brag about their beer belly oft are mistaken. This is really a pizza, cheese, and potato chip fat belly. Excess alcohol calories are burnt off as heat, not stored. Then I'll jump down here real quick. It says, plus alcohol reduces self-control, causing you to be unable to eat just one of anything. My comment would be, Dr. McDougall, anything that we eat that we know that we shouldn't be eating and will allow us to lose our self-control, causing us to eat more of what it is that we should eat. And it says, as number 9 says, that exercise helps, but it cannot compensate for oil and sugar-filled foods. And it says, first manage every morsel that passes your lips. And I believe that to be true. You know, we can go out and we can exercise and we can burn that 400 or 500 or 600 calories like Dottie's doing today, walking on the program. We've all heard it. She's burning the calories. But if she is still putting the wrong kind of calories into her body, she can't exercise enough to burn off what it is that she has particular eating. And that's the whole purpose of it. It says, isn't there something you love doing? Tennis, walking, bicycling. In other words, move. Do something that you enjoy. We have Maddie's on this call. Maddie is a person that loves to dance, her and her husband. And one of the things we've heard Maddie say, that when she started to dance and got some exercise, but she enjoys doing it. They enjoy doing it together. Find something, even your children, just find something. I don't care if it's going out and throwing a basketball or a baseball or just going for a walk. You know, it's just like putting a pack on a child's back as an example, just going for a 5-minute walk or doing something. And here's the one or two that I know Maddie would listen to, and it says, number 10, it says, eating out is a major downfall for most people. Do not make restaurants and chefs and your chief cook. And here's the little phrase. It says, if you do have to eat out, keep it simple. And I think that's one of the things that we've all asked the question, well, what do I do if I got to eat out for dinner? What do I eat? The key is just to keep it simple. When you go in there, you can have your baked potatoes and your steamed vegetables and things like that. You know, we don't have to. Sometimes we feel, I think, that when we do go out for dinner with somebody or a lot of people around us are eating all the foods that in the old times we really enjoyed, and maybe even right now if we could slip back, we'd enjoy them also. But I've also heard on this call this week that there are people that have been tried cheese or had some chicken or did something that have been eating more of a plant-based diet, and for some reason, after the meal, they didn't feel too good. And there again, it's just that old mind, opening those eyes and that mind to realizing exactly what it is. So that's my kind of little come at you for the end of the week. And that's just to basically keep your eyes open, keep your mind open. Get out of this program what you want to get out. Follow your path that you have the way you want to do it. And if you are, you'll have better health down the road. So that's all determined to you. Does anybody have anything you'd like to say?
Great call, Mikey. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Watching?
Yes.
On Dr. Oz yesterday, I don't know if anybody's seen it, but, you know, he said, guarantee that if you take good care of yourself, you can live to be a good, healthy 100 years old, you know, and beyond, really.
Well, you know, that's so true. And it kind of amazes me, you know, how many of you have grandchildren that you just absolutely love, absolutely adore, would do absolutely anything for, or a spouse, or a friend, or a family member, or a church member, or the next door neighbor, who out there that you really enjoy, and just stop to think, if you enjoy being with them, in most cases they enjoy being with you. So why not take this emphasis of good health, of good eating, and do exactly what Dottie just said. Stay as healthy as you can, as long as you can, so you can enjoy those people in your life that really make you feel good actually make feel good and happy, that you actually promote or say something to that person, you can just see them bristle up with pride, or grandchild, and you tell them you're proud of them or something they've done. Wouldn't you want that feeling for as long as you can have it, instead of having to excuse the expression, laying in a nursing home somewhere and just being, or can't get around, or can't go out and play with the grandchildren, or can't do things with your spouse that you know they would just love to go out and do, like Maddie Saper dancing? You know, that's the whole point of this and the new way of eating. If we can get this in our heads and understand that we are of value to ourselves, but more so, we are of value to humanity. And when Ruth and Char started this program in regards to Lifestyle Call, that was, I think, one of their main goals, was to get this new way, a new way of eating, a new way of looking at health, teamed up with Neekin and Neekin products and the natural things that we have in this particular organization. Now to be able to take our natural foods and eat the way that our body was meant to eat, and eat the foods that we were meant to eat. And when you go to foreign countries, you start to see the Japanese, the Thais, and the Peruvians getting heavy. They're probably eating McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, or something that's come into their area that has changed the way that they normally eat, and they've gone to the rich American diet. Because you can take people born in foreign countries that are nice, thin, and trim, you bring them to America in a very short time frame. Everybody says the genetics changes. Well, the genetics don't change. The only thing that changed is they started putting in their mouth the things that were unbeneficial to their body, and they started to look like most Americans today. I'm on my soapbox, so I'm going to jump off it. The call's gone longer than what I hoped it would. So other than that, each and every one of you have a great week that's coming up. Have a wonderful weekend. Just when you sit down and have food, just stop and think. Just stop and think, and whatever you decide, that choice is yours. Have a great day. Have a great coming weekend. And we'll all be here again starting Monday at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Thank you kindly.
Thanks, Marty.
Thank you, Marty.
Bye-bye.
Marty, bye.